Let's read together 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 9 through 16. Now, in these verses, we have further exhortations for the believer in reference to a godly life and godly lifestyle. 1 Timothy chapter 6, beginning at verse 9. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But you, O man of God, flee these things, and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I urge you in the sight of God, who gives life to all things, and before Christ Jesus, who witnessed the good confession before Pontius Pilate, that you keep this commandment without spot, blameless until our Lord Jesus Christ's appearing, which he will manifest in his own time, he who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone has immortality, dwelling in unapproachable light, whom no man has seen or can see, to whom be honor and everlasting power. Amen. Let's begin this section of 1 Timothy chapter 6 now with some background notes. Although the theme of 1 Timothy is church order, it is filled with instructions and exhortations and advice for the individual Christian concerning godly living and Christian service. Remember, 1 Timothy was a personal letter from the Apostle Paul to his son in the faith, Timothy. When Paul wrote this letter to Timothy, Timothy was in Ephesus helping to pastor and build up the church there. So there are instructions in this letter on how to refute false teaching in the church, and on how to recognize elders and deacons in the church, and on how to differentiate between the roles of men and women in the church, and on how to care for widows in the church, and on how to discipline elders, and other instructions as well. 1 Timothy is so important to read and follow in reference to setting up a church and structuring a church and evaluating a church as to whether or not it's a New Testament church. But because 1 Timothy is a personal letter from Paul to Timothy, there are instructions in this epistle that apply to us as individual Christians. These instructions and exhortations challenge us to be characterized by godly living. That then brings us to our doctrinal or teaching points. So doctrinal point number one, godly believers flee the evil love of money. Godly believers flee the evil love of money. Verses 10 and 11 once again. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness, and pierce themselves through with many sorrows. But you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. It's often been pointed out that verse 10 does not say money is the root of all evil, but rather the love of money. Furthermore, it does not say the love of money is the root of all evil, but rather the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some of your translations may be misleading at this point. In other words, not all evil in the universe comes from the love of money, but a lot of evil comes from the love of money. Think of the illustration of a tree labeled evil. One of the roots of this tree in the illustration is labeled the love of money, and it's a big root. All kinds of evil stem from this root. Greed, envy, strife, theft, dishonesty, selfishness. Think of the sorrows that have come to many because of the love of money. You know, I know a Christian couple who got into real estate. They made a ton of money, but for them, it became more than a job. They fell in love with money. They not only strayed from the faith, as verse 10 says, but their marriage and family fell apart. They pierced themselves through with many sorrows, verse 10. So what should godly believers do? Godly believers should flee the evil love of money. That's our doctrinal point. Verse 11, But you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. Flee these things, that is, the love of money and all of its associated problems. Now, flee here does not mean sit around and see if you can handle money. No, flee means flee. Visualize yourself trying to outrun a rising flood. Flee and get to higher ground before you are swept away. And notice that we are not only to flee these things, but we are to pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. This is the key to victory in this area. You flee the negative by running after the positive. So if you have a problem with money, then get more involved in serving the Lord so that there is a shift in your priorities and interests. Illustration. I've seen Christians who were hung up with money go on short missions exposure trips and return home completely changed. Their focus and priorities are rearranged. They are now fleeing the wrong things and pursuing the right things. You see how that's the key to victory? The key to fleeing the wrong things is pursuing the right things. Godly believers flee the evil love of money. Doctrinal point number two. Godly believers fight the good fight of faith. Godly believers fight the good fight of faith. Verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Now, the word fight here is the Greek word from which we get our English word agonize. The figure of fighting the good fight is more from the athletic arena than from the military battlefield. Now, some of you here are athletes and can appreciate this analogy. Just as a wrestler, for example, agonizes and exerts every ounce of energy to win, so the godly believer is 100% committed to serving the Lord, even though it's hard work and requires a very disciplined and dedicated lifestyle. To lay hold on eternal life does not mean to strive for salvation, but to live out your salvation. After all, you've made a public confession of your faith. Even your baptism testifies to that fact. Now, verses 13 and 14 are both a challenge and an encouragement to be bold in our fighting the good fight and witnessing for Christ. Verses 13 and 14 once again. I urge you in the sight of God, who gives life to all things, and before Christ Jesus, who witnessed the good confession before Pontius Pilate, that you keep this commandment without spot, blameless, until the Lord Jesus Christ appearing. Paul reminded Timothy in verse 13 that he was being charged before God. That's a serious charge. But remember, Timothy, writes Paul, that God is the source of all life. So no matter what happens to you in the future, even martyrdom, God is in control. And remember, Timothy, our supreme example is the Lord Jesus himself. He did not flinch or compromise the good confession of faith before Pontius Pilate. What a challenge to Timothy, and what a challenge to us. Godly believers fight the good fight of faith. Verse 15 gives us motivation for fighting the good fight. The Lord is coming back, and it will be on his time schedule. All power is given unto him. He is the blessed and only potentate. He's the King of kings and Lord of lords. Verse 15, once again, which he will manifest in his own time. He who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords. And at his appearing, there will be reward in the kingdom for those who have fought the good fight. Listen to what the Lord says in Revelation chapter 22. And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to give to everyone according to his work. Revelation 22:12. You will never be sorry that you fought the good fight. You will be honored by the King of kings and Lord of lords. No wonder this section closes in verse 16 with a doxology. In fact, we could say the doxology begins in verse 15. These verses, by the way, may be from an early Christian hymn. Now, we've applied the phrases of verse 15 to Christ, the Son of God. But all of these phrases could be applied to the Father as well. In fact, God the Father seems to be particularly in view in verse 16. He alone has immortality. That is, as an attribute. Our future immortality will be derived from him. Immortality is only conferred on us. He alone has immortality, that is, as an essential attribute, an intrinsic attribute. God dwells in unapproachable light. That is, God is too glorified for mortal creatures to approach him, that is, apart from Christ. Notice the next phrase, whom no man has seen or can see. No person has ever seen God in his eternal essence. John 1:18 says, no one has seen God at any time. We know from Scripture people have seen the outward manifestation of God's glory, like Moses, but no person has ever seen the essence of deity. To him be honor and everlasting power. Amen. What a wonderful conclusion to this section of Scripture on fighting the good fight. Godly believers fight the good fight of faith. Now, what about practical application from this section of 1 Timothy 6? Don't try to get rich. Don't try to get rich. Go back to verse 9. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and harmful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. Notice the Bible doesn't say it's wrong to be rich. I mean, God may make you rich through any number of ways, but it's wrong to try to get rich. Notice what the Scripture says here. If you try to get rich, you will fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and harmful lusts. Notice, it does not say you may fall into temptation and a snare. Rather, it says you will fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and harmful lusts. There are no ifs or buts about it. You will. A lot of Christians don't really believe this, but this is the Word of God. It's saying, not maybe, you will, if you try to get rich. The very things which cause unbelievers to end up in hell will cost believers a life of ruin and loss. I think both are involved there in that last phrase of verse 9, which drown men in destruction and perdition. So stay away from money-making schemes. Don't be tempted and ensnared by some get-rich-quick plan. There is bad fallout to these so-called perfect money pyramids. Don't get ensnared. Don't try to get rich.